Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki and I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello to you too as well.
We are also in the room. Can confirm.
As they've said.
And
it's a hot scoop.
Mic'd up.
Yep.
We've all got headsets.
Is that what this is?
We've all got headsets on. It's a big room. We're just wandering around.
You are giving away too much information.
Use the space.
Here.
Use the space. All right. You're a donkey.
No. I'm not a donkey, and I asked you to stop calling me one.
All right, you're a seagull.
Thank you.
And you, Matt, are a majestic lion king.
Yes, thank you. Hey, that's the episode of Primates this week.
Oh, great, there you go. I did not even mean that. I retract anything that would inspire a plug for Primates, a show.
I really appreciate that opportunity to plug Primates, Dave, with special guest Claire Tonti.
Tonte!
And Dimity Kirkwood from The Millennial Divide. It was a real fun time. We talked about The Lion King.
Ah.
Classic film called The Lion King, which I like to call The Lion King.
Right. And when I accidentally just said that Jess was a seagull, I also should add, this is completely unintentional, but last week's episode of Book Cheat, I talked about Anton Chekhov's The Seagull.
That's really going to seem like you set all that up, but...
I swear I didn't. I'm just that good.
You got seagull on the brain.
Almost all I'm thinking about. I just had some chips. Seagulls yeah. love yeah. chippies.
A little seagull boy. A and little
what
gull.
About, what about donkey? Have you been watching Shrek?
Yeah, I love it. Next question.
What's your favorite part of Shrek?
Oh, probably the donkey.
I like his balls. Oh, you mean the movie. I like the intro and... outro and bits of the middle. I love Shrek the Halls.
Yeah, that's
the name.
One.
I haven't seen it, but it does sound
but that is a
festive.
Great pun title.
Yeah, they put the name before the horse on that one. I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, while we're plugging things, I'm coming to Adelaide as well as Perth next year, as well as Brisbane and Melbourne. But Adelaide and Perth are on sale now, and you can go to mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. And click on links there for the appropriate show. And I'm pretty sure there's an early bird discount code pre-Christmas for Do Go On listeners. If you put in the code, I think is Do Go On. Or is it Do Go On Pod? I think it's Do Go On. And
if Do Go On doesn't work, try Do Go On Pod.
You are good.
And then try free tickets.
Yeah. Wait, no.
And then try bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Mum, mum, mum.
Yeah. Try that. And then if those options haven't failed, and I have to stress, you have to have tried all of them.
Right.
Yeah,
in that
then
order.
Tweet at Matt.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work. Otherwise, I hope your producer is listening and can set up all of those codes because that'd be fantastic.
That would be great. If you are listening, Emma, please do that.
Bum, 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 especially.
Bum, bum. How much? What percent does bum get you off?
No, well, bum, bum, bum is obviously 30%. It's 10% per bum.
Right.
If I type in what? If I type in 10 bums, do I get a free ticket?
Yes.
I think I end up paying you, which I please don't
11
do that.
Bums. Do 11 bums and he has to pay you.
Oh, great. I cannot afford that.
Well, you should have you should have thought of that before you come up with
Emma,
this code.
Why did you set up that discount code? That was foolish.
The Perth economy is tough. It's expensive to get there. Yeah. Accommodation's not cheap. And I'm probably staying in a toilet, I assume.
That's our problem.
Oh,
no, you're right. It isn't your problem. Anyway, please come to those shows. What a fantastic Christmas present. Hey, here's another great Christmas present. We're only a few weeks away from Christmas, and I fucking feel festive.
Krishmish.
Krishmish. We've got a red bubble, and everyone associates Michael Bubble with Christmas. Well, why not associate Red Bubble?
Michael Red Bubble.
Michael Red Bubble. And if you go to dogoonpod.com/, I don't know what the slash is, but if you just go to that shop. And click on shop, it'll take you to our Red Bubble. And you get different things like shirts. I believe I'm only judging this based off Two in the Think Tank, our sister podcast from Planet Broadcasting / Jupiter Studios. And they just had a listener buy a clock with their funny faces on it. So if that's possible, I love that as a Christmas
present.
There's
all sorts
idea.
Of things you can get.
That's right. We've uploaded a couple of designs and then you get to pick what you want it printed on and then they'll ship it to you. Yeah. T-shirts and hoodies are the big one that we sell a few of, but we'd love to start selling clocks as well.
You can get an iPad case, an iPhone case.
A mug.
Laptop skin, just a framed print.
Just a framed print.
You can get a mug, a throw pillow, a travel mug, postcards, notebooks, laptop sleeves, tote bags.
Are you looking at these or are you just listening? Because it's amazing if you just...
I mean, I was staring at my computer and not making eye contact with you guys. So obviously I'm just listing them.
I thought you were just riffing throw pillow. I was like, you're amazing.
I really...
Wow, your opinion of me is so low that me saying throw pillow is amazing.
I don't even know what that is.
Right.
What's a throw pillow?
It's a cushion.
I imagine if I said throw pillow, you would have also been impressed.
Oh.
Does that mean your opinion of me is also low?
Oh, so low. Think of Jess, halve it. Then halve it again, jeez, double it, and then third it.
Oh, my God.
That is confusing.
My opinion is so low because I didn't think you'd understand that.
Yeah, and I didn't.
So my opinion is so accurate.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
anyway.
Nobody was arguing that.
I mean, jeez.
Anyway, hit up dogoonpod.com, click shop, go to our shop.
Is this our first in-studio podcast?
No, I was just thinking. I believe it is.
This feels different. Yeah. And probably because it is.
Yeah.
We haven't done one in the studio since before, since we did one with Meso about Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi everyone. We're back in the studio. We've just come back, if you haven't been keeping with us on social media, from our UK tour, which was a lot of fun.
Mm.
We ended up doing 9 shows over there.
So much fun.
It's a bit crazy.
Lots of Dugon listeners from England, Scotland, and abroad. People came across from Europe, different places. That was cool.
Yeah.
There were Australians in some of the shows. Yeah. Less than I was expecting, though.
A guy from the Ukraine came in.
Oh, that was cool.
That made my life.
And also some Oslonians.
Yes.
A Parisian.
Yep.
Lots
Switzerland,
of
Sweden, Lebanon.
Finland.
Lebanon. Lots from Ireland.
Heaps of Ireland. So we're definitely going to go there one day.
Yep.
Next time around, we're definitely going to Ireland. And we've got a new dream of doing a show somewhere on continental Europe. But anyway, we've got to figure that out. It's probably, in the meantime, we should probably do this show.
Yeah.
But I'm already dreaming ahead.
I was waiting for there to be more to that sentence. Like in continental Europe... In a silly costume, but it just stopped.
Well, I didn't want to give too much away.
Right, okay.
Matt's happy to do it just at the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Not even leave the airport.
That way we don't have to sort out visas.
Yeah, that's how that works, right?
I assume so.
If everyone books on the same flight,
We could do it in international airways.
Oh.
Over the intercom. This is your captain speaking.
Oh, that would be awful.
Podcast rule.
Matt's least favourite part of being on a plane is the PA announcements.
Oh, interrupting PA announcements. The screens.
I mean, I'm not on my own there, surely.
No, but it was out of character for you how angry you got at them.
Look,
because you are very chilled out.
I
and
flipped
then to
the
watch
bird
you,
at the screen a few times.
So basically, you're watching the screen, the PA comes on and it automatically pauses what's on your screen saying cabin announcement. Sometimes it's important. It's for safety reasons. Sometimes it's, would you like to buy some perfume? And you're just like, no.
Hey, I just had this thought. If we do it in international airways, and I don't 100% know if the skills transfer across, but maybe Mesa could fly the plane.
I would assume those are transferable.
Yeah, trams and planes.
Yeah.
It's all just public transport.
They've all got wheels.
Yeah.
Of some description.
That's
buttons
right.
And dials.
They've all got a wire hanging above them with a metal thing attaching to it for some reason and sand.
What is that?
They're all on tracks.
Yeah.
God, it's a weird piece of transport.
It is a weird piece of transport.
Thank you.
Aeroplanes. How do they do it?
Is that the title of this episode?
Yeah. What is it?
So spoilers. For those who don't know how the show works, if you're listening for the first time...
We sound like we don't know how the show works.
Well, we don't really. But there's three of us here and we each take it in turns to do a report on a thing.
We may as well do it, the three of us here. We'll have a go.
And one of us knows what the report is and they've researched the topic and it's usually based on a listener suggestion. The other two don't know what the topic is. We get on the topic with a question. This week, Jess is doing the report and she's about to ask a question, I believe. And I normally get them right nearly half the time. No, nearly a third of the time.
Okay.
Third. You get them more than a third of the time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'm the winner.
But you're not in this comp today.
Well, I reckon
so
I could still have a guess. And I wrote a question. I'm going through a bit of a phase of writing the question ahead of time. To be fair, I wrote it while we were sitting in here anyway. But I did it.
Okay.
So.
All right. I am primed. After that, I'm inspired to try and get this right.
Please embrace the new me.
Please.
The question is, which World War II badass has been referred to as the real-life Captain America?
Captain America.
Wow, that would be a great name. But no.
Is it someone I would have heard of?
I hadn't, but that doesn't mean you haven't. You have been around a very
long
time.
I'm trying to think of the actual Captain America's name. It's like Steve Austin?
Rogers. Steve Jobs?
Steve Rogers. Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
What
that's
a
real life
he
Captain
did.
America.
Yeah. God bless him, everyone.
God bless our boys up there in Apple. Doing it in Cupertino.
The Big Apple. I get it.
Cupertino. I like that
that's
lot.
The Apple headquarters in California.
Cupertino.
Yeah. Can I get you a Cupertino?
Was that Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I think it was. Thank you. My next impression, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Hello.
Okay.
That was Philip Seymour Hoffman playing our good friend, Alistair Tremblay-Virtual.
Wow.
And nailing it.
Here's John, I'll do a very quick, this is a niche impersonation, but I'll also do my Alistair Tremblay-Virtual.
From Two in the Think Tank, our sister podcast we mentioned.
It's a two-word impersonation. Here it is. That's doable.
That is something Al has said and will say again.
Very positive, can-do
totally
kind of guy.
Positive. Wants to help.
Look, my one little nitpick there was that didn't sound like Al exactly. It sounded like Philip Seymour Hoffman doing Al.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what it was.
Perfectly.
Yeah. Thank you.
I like it when Al tries to go full Australian. That's fun.
That
because,
is good.
Because he has a hybrid accent anyway. So when he just forces the Australian side, it's like, we do sound ridiculous. Anyway, enough of Al.
I don't think I know.
I don't think I'll get the guy.
Have you heard of Audie Murphy?
No.
No, but I want to.
Well, you're gonna.
Audie.
I've heard of Ornie Adams, the guy from Comedian, the documentary with Jerry Seinfeld.
Is that even the same?
Ornie.
This is
Audie. So that's different.
How do you spell that?
A-U-D-I-E.
Oh, but like Audi the car, but...
Audie.
A bit different. There you go. Some people do say Audi Audie, though, we'll say.
All right.
The European car manufacturer.
Do you want to call him Audi?
Yes. No.
Audi.
No,
well, I'll wait before I call him Audi.
Yeah. I don't want to disrespect a badass, especially if he's going to come beat my ass.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited. That's a great name.
So, Audie was born on the 20th of June, 1924 or 25. That will come back.
That's badass.
He was the seventh of 12 children.
Whoa. Quick question.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Do they know what's calling it? And who are you referring to?
Audie.
Does he know what's causing
it? Yes, all the siblings.
I was trying to get to like his parents' names there.
Oh, his parents'
names. Just
like
a fun little segue there. Like, do his parents, anyway, so his parents were Emmett Berry Murphy and his wife Josie Bell Killian.
Oh, a couple of fantastic names.
I know. Emmett Bell.
Emmett Berry.
Emmett Berry, Josie Bell.
Middle name Berry.
Yeah. Berry.
Love that.
So good.
And Josie Bell, what was the other name?
Killian. Killing me softly.
Oh, with that beautiful words in my ears.
Do you think that's how their son Steve Jobs ended up coming up with the name BlackBerry for one of his first mobile phone devices? Do you think?
He's so morphed a lot there.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why?
No, I don't think so. But thank you.
Yeah, and then he went on to found Apple Records with the Beatles.
Did he really? Wow. This is going to be a banger of a report.
Yeah, strap in.
A lot to cover here.
He was born in Kingston in Texas. As a child, he was described as a loner with mood swings and an explosive temper. Keep that in mind.
Oh, he's going to be an explosive man in life.
His father was pretty absent when Audie was growing up and eventually just abandoning the family altogether.
Oh.
And Audie dropped out of school in fifth grade and got a job picking cotton to help support his mum and his siblings. He also got handy with a rifle and would hunt small game to support the family as well. He'd feed them. A lot like Katniss Everdeen.
Or Annie Oakley.
Oh, all right, that one. He's always got to jump on my references.
Come on,
mate.
What about Katniss Everdeen?
Yeah.
Where Philip Seymour Hoffman played her uncle or something.
Oh, Cat Piss Everdeen.
No, right. Dave. No, why are we always going to the gutter?
And can I just do a quick impression of Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in that film? Goodbye.
Oh.
Sorry, what film was that, Dave?
Hunger Games.
You got lucky.
Yeah, I got so lucky. Never seen any of them. I've seen trailers for those and it looks terrible.
I'd say I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but I did. I think I might have even seen them all. But anyway, here's my impersonation of Katniss Everdeen. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
I like that you were miming that, which is useless on a audio platform, but also you didn't mime it well at all in that you didn't move your arm when you fired an arrow.
That's how he does all his impressions, though. Do a bulldozer. same hand movement.
Yeah, that is amazing. Odd. Left arm outstretched, right arm bent at the elbow.
Yeah.
And that's how he does everything.
Yeah.
I love that. Love your style.
Thank
Good you. For
you.
That was a bullseye in my heart.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's, from a young age, he's supporting his family. And sadly, his mother died when he was about 16 of pneumonia. And county authorities placed his three younger siblings in Bowles Children's Home, which was a Christian orphanage in Quinlan in Texas. And he got work at a radio repair shop and at a combination general store, garage and gas station in Greenville, which is about 25 minutes away from where his younger siblings were. I don't know where the other older ones went. They must have just kind of scattered. But, yeah, so they all kind of got separated. The same year that his mother died, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor occurred. And Audie wanted to enlist in the army, having always wanted to be a soldier, but he was turned away by the Army, Navy and Marine Corps for firstly being underage, but secondly he was also underweight. He was quite small in stature and he was very skinny.
Oh, yes. Thank goodness I've got an excuse to not go to war. Oh, phew.
And you can pretend you want to.
Yeah, I want to be a hero so bad. But I weigh 58 kilos. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. We got a new division opening right up. Come right through here. You're on the front line.
You don't think in modern warfare they need, like, nerds at computers? You're fucked, mate. You're first in.
Mate, you'll be piloting the drones, but actually inside the drones.
Yeah, you'll be in a drone.
Just in case we need someone to be inside the drone reporting back. Yep. Still in the air. Yeah.
That's you, Dave.
All right. I can see the enemy. All right. We're going in. And we're detonating now.
Oh, I'm exploding.
Boop.
Sorry, mate. Sorry you had to find out this way, but you are not avoiding it.
I'm going to run away.
Where to?
The other side. They'd never expect that.
Who wouldn't expect that? Them.
Yeah.
Wait, the other side of the...
The war?
The war.
The wall.
Oh, the wall.
Wall.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're just going to leave the room.
Yep.
Right.
I've thought this through.
So you're I don't know that you have.
You're in the army headquarters.
And so. I've just gone to the other side of the wall.
Right, mate.
Most people would actually run away. Me, I just hide in plain sight.
You hide in a cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait for HQ to close down for the night.
For 6 years.
Wow. Okay. Is the war going for that long or do you not know that it's over so you just stay there out of precaution?
People come and tell me the war's over and I'm like, no, this is a trick.
You're lying to me.
You're lying.
So people know you're in the cupboard.
Yeah, a couple of people.
Who are people who work at HQ?
Yeah, the general thinks it's really funny that there's a guy in the cupboard.
Right. Okay.
They knew I'd be rubbish anyway.
So I think at this point you can probably leave the cupboard. If the general knows you're there.
I kind of like the cupboard.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Never been in a fight with a cupboard.
All right. This weirdly makes sense considering the long-running joke we have. Well, joke. Theory. That Dave's girlfriend is a broom. This makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it's a broom cupboard.
Did you say joke?
Yeah, I said joke, and then I was like, well, it's not a joke. It's a conspiracy theory of ours because we've never met her or seen
conspiracy her. Theory. It goes all the way to the top.
It's a broom. I was thinking mop, but yeah, maybe a broom.
And you have both met her on multiple occasions now.
Multiple?
Two is multiple.
When was the second time?
You've met her twice.
You can pay for a hacker one time. I've only met her once.
I've met her once.
Twice.
When was the second time?
I'm sorry that she doesn't give a shit about our show or come to the live one.
So, well, that's not on us.
Because we both met her once on the same night doesn't equal us meeting her twice.
No, I'm pretty sure you've met her another time.
Yeah, but you can't think of when, conveniently.
Oh, God, I'll have to get her.
You haven't inserted that memory into our brains yet.
I'll have to get her diary.
Yeah, no. Nah, it's been once, and we're very confident that was an actress because she was way too beautiful.
Yeah, but a fantastic performance.
Oh, very compelling.
Yeah, very compelling.
She did keep her distance from Dave.
I actually thought she might be a Seymour Hoffman. That's how good she was.
And did she say hello?
She did say that.
She did when I arrived.
And did she say goodbye?
Yes.
She did when I left.
And in the middle she said, which was weird, but
yeah.
Anyway.
But I was like, "Is there a bulldozer in here?"
Hungarian for dessert is served.
Oh, she's Hungarian.
Oh, a little bit of backstory.
That is not what you've said all along. Oh, it's unraveling. We've got him.
It's all true.
Anyway,
the actor had an Australian accent.
Hungarian's very close to Australian.
Oh my God, he is going bright red. He is unraveling. Dave, I'm going to save you here.
So you were saying he was very, very underweight, which is classic intro section of Captain America film.
Correct.
And probably comic books, I assume.
Very good, Maddie.
Thank you.
You did it.
Yeah, I've got a comic book at home.
So yeah, he's turned away from the Army, the Navy and the Marine Corps. Nobody wants him. The following year, his sister provided an affidavit that falsified his birth date by a year. So he was 17, but they said, oh no, he's 18.
Did you say a year later?
Yeah, so he was 16 when he was trying.
So that it was like he was 17 and a year later he got his sister to write a false affidavit saying he's 18.
But backdated.
Yeah, backdate that affidavit.
They're like, okay, so you're 19. He's like, whatever.
Whatever. Just
shut up. Can I come?
There's also an affidavit saying I weigh more than I actually weigh.
Just don't weigh me.
Yeah, don't weigh me because I've got it written.
I'm weird about it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
But trust me.
There's a number on the paper.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I know I look skinny, but I carry it well.
I weigh more than the average Range Rover.
Just give me the serum.
Fuck.
I like American Captain.
I like American Captain too.
He's real good.
Stanley Tucci. That's why I like it.
Stanley Tucci.
I love Stanley Tucci.
He played Captain America.
No, he hosts
the show with Catnip Ebenine.
Oh, he does too. Yeah. But no, he's the German doctor who injects Steve Rogers with the serum.
I mean, what can the Tooch not do?
Tooch. Honestly, I watched Easy A the other day. Oh, he's just so great.
Oh, he could do it all.
He does everything. That's fun dad. Fun dad.
Yeah.
German doctor. Wacky man with cool hair. He does it all.
Name another thing he's done it.
Fashion assistant.
Done it. Yes.
Anyway, I reckon the people who have tuned in especially to hear about it.
Gay
I'll be
best
badass.
Friend of Cher in Burlesque. Why did he take that role? I'm glad he did. I watch Burlesque at least quarterly with my friend Linny. But why did he take it?
Did she have lots of different best friends and she's categorized them all based on their sexuality?
Yes.
Or did you? Okay. Like, cut me off at the pass there.
Oh, have you seen the film Burlesque?
No.
Well, then don't you jump on my bananas.
Is that a line from the film?
You'd have to watch it to find out. You can come over to my house and watch it. It's the best.
That sounds fantastic.
Anyway, fuck. I haven't got through a page. So he manages to finally get into the US Army. He's accepted. This is in June of 1942. So he is 17, but they've said he's 18.
And you know the song from The Sound of Music that was based on this guy? He is 17, going on 18, doobie-doobie-doo.
You love musicals.
I do.
You love them.
Well, I love The Little Orphan Annie. The list goes on.
Stop calling her that. She finds it offensive when you say, oh, hi, Little Orphan Annie. How are you? Just call her Annie.
Yeah, well.
Oh, no, but we do know a few Annies.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
It does. I know a few orphan Annies.
Hi, Jess's some of them are big. Annie.
Hey, mid-sized orphan Annie. What's up?
Oh, I feel sorry for big orphan Annie.
I don't. She's a bloody rad dog. She's a dog.
A dog. Sadly orphaned, but now living a happy life.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, so he's made it into the army in 1942. While he was participating in a close order drill during that hot Texas summer, he passed out. So he's struggling a bit with some of his basic training.
How this badass is inspiring for me. If a thin, obviously an underweight guy that passes out a lot can go on to be considered a badass.
When's the last time you passed out?
I'd pass out once during a blood test.
Yeah, we've all done that. You need to up your frequency of passing out, mate.
Tell us about his jugular.
Esophagus?
Esophagus.
Yeah, tell me. Give me an esophageal update. Yeah.
No.
How's he?
Fine.
Esophically.
He swallows well?
He's
esophically
fine.
Speaking.
Esophically speaking, he's in the top percentile. Mm.
Philip Seymour, esophically speaking.
he's about to get a serum injected into him, and that's going to change everything.
I'm waiting for that serum.
How frustrating for the warheads out there listening to this when we have... Have you said anything about this guy yet?
Barely.
Well, I can't wait to hear it more.
So his company commander thought his build was too slight for service in the infantry and tried to have him transferred.
He was going to be injected.
Tried to have him transferred to a cook and baker's school. But Audie insisted on becoming a combat soldier.
So they were trying to make him a chef of some description?
Yeah, basically.
No, I think a swing musician in the band, the Cook and Bakers.
Get him on drums.
I went straight for horns.
Yeah. He would have been on the horn,
yeah,
no doubt.
Always on the horn.
Oh, so he's probably in the triangle.
What are you talking about? We're talking about a World War II badass.
Yeah, but we're talking about like a man with my build.
No, he wouldn't.
He's about our height, or I think a little bit shorter.
This man is—he's saxophonist, if anything.
He's what?
A saxophonist.
Yes. Okay. I thought
grow up, Jess.
I thought you were saying esophagus again. So he completed his basic training, and he was shipped to Casablanca.
Oh, the film!
Oh, fantastic,
beautiful. So he got into acting.
He went to Casablanca on the 20th of Feb, 1943.
Quite frankly, my dear. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
I'm just going to have a little break.
Yeah,
here.
Cool.
Sorry, that's gone with the wind, mate.
Fuck. Hey, I've seen classic. Hey, could you do a new podcast about classic movies so I don't have to watch them?
Yeah, right. Yeah, good one. He went to Casablanca. He later went to Sicily, where he was a division runner for the 3rd Infantry. And although he'd struggled to get into the military and prove himself, Audie began to prove himself to be a more than capable soldier and an excellent marksman and rose through the ranks rather quickly. Supreme Commander General Dwight D. Eisenhower, that's such a good name, made the decision to invade Italy in early September 1943. Audie and two of his fellow soldiers and friends were travelling along the Volturno River, which is in south central Italy. The trio were near a bridge when one of them was killed by German machine gun fire. Audie's friend, a soldier named Tipton, tossed hand grenades in the direction of the fire, and Audie responded with a Thompson submachine gun, killing five German soldiers.
Five?
You know those machine guns that just have like the huge round barrel on the front of them? It's one of those, which for some reason just seems so badass. But, you know, he killed five people.
Like one of those old school Tommy guns?
Yeah.
Like the gangsters use, man, they're probably the coolest looking machine gun.
Yeah. Well, this is a Thompson machine gun, so I'm gonna say it's probably the same thing.
If you're using one of them, you gotta have a cigar coming out your mouth and you gotta be saying, "Eat lead, sucker."
Yeah. And laughing maniacally. Yeah. Yeah. By July he was a corporal, and by December he was promoted to sergeant. And by this time, the 3rd Infantry Division had suffered heavy casualties. They had 683 dead, 170 missing, and 2,412 wounded. At the end of 1943, the division began training near Naples for the planned 1944 storming of Anzio Beachhead. Anzio, the beginning of the liberation of Rome. And Audie made section leader on the 4th of January and was promoted to staff sergeant on the 13th of January. So
he's flying up the ranks.
Within a couple of weeks, he's had two promotions.
That's an amazing time. I guess in part it's because people are dying all around you, but still, that is a wild rising through the ranks.
Yeah. A week after his promotion to staff sergeant, on the 21st of January, he was hospitalised in Naples with malaria. He returned to his unit in time to take part in the unsuccessful First Battle of Cisterna, which was fought between the 30th of January and 1st of Feb. It was the most fierce and sustained fighting he had experienced to date. And their Lieutenant Colonel Michael Pawlik, who was the commander of the 1st Battalion of the 15th Infantry, temporarily took charge when the company commander was left badly wounded. And he later stated that the three-day battle that followed decimated the company, leaving fewer than 30 soldiers alive. Audie Murphy, still alive.
Out of how many was it?
A lot. I don't know exactly how many.
A lot down to 30.
Yeah.
Jeez.
A lot more than 30 down to 30.
Right.
Wow, 46. Whoa.
The men were forced back to Anzio and remained there for months, taking shelter in an abandoned farmhouse. And on the 2nd of March, their artillery fire disabled a German tank. And although the tank crew were killed as they tried to escape, Audie knew that the tank could be repaired by the Germans and put back into use. So leaving his men in the farmhouse, he advanced towards the tank by crawling on his stomach, and he then used rifle grenades to permanently put the tank out of commission. For this action, he received the Bronze Star with a V device.
So can you say something like, "You've been decommissioned," and then started firing those grenades at it?
Yeah.
And then walked away in slow motion as it exploded behind him.
Yeah. That genuinely happens later. He continued to make scouting patrols to take German prisoners before being hospitalized for a week.
He was still doing his scouting stuff.
Still doing
his
scouting.
Badges.
Yeah, that's, I love that.
The man sewing. Does it all.
Yeah.
Tying little ropes for no reason.
Yeah, just little ones. But then he got malaria again.
Oh, man.
And so he was in hospital again for about another week. The 3rd Division was taken off the front line in late March and placed in reserve. And they were put through additional combat training, but the training was so intense that Audie felt that his men needed relief and he refused to put them through more training. But this action cost him a promotion that he was supposedly going to receive because he defied orders to stand up for his men. Didn't hurt his career overall, to be honest, but he didn't get a promotion as quickly as he should have because he was like, nah.
He had about 4 days instead of three.
Yeah, he's like, we don't wanna. And I'm just sort of picking a few key stories here. Obviously, with any of these World War II guys, it's like a million different things, but I'm just picking out a few here.
When does he get in a stand-up comedy?
Soon.
Cool.
Another story that comes up about him a lot is when he and his best mate, Laddie Tipton, who I mentioned before.
Oh, you didn't mention his name was Laddie. You just said Tipton.
Laddie.
Laddie Tipton, another cracking name.
Yeah. They were together during a battle, and two Germans exited a house about 100 yards or 90 metres away from them, and they waved a white flag. So Tipton made himself visible, beckoned for the German soldiers to come towards him, and he was immediately killed by machine gun fire coming from within the house.
Laddie was.
Yeah.
That is a dog act. You do not make fun of the white flag system.
No, what's the point of it?
That ruins it for everyone.
What's the point of the white flag system?
That's a dog. I thought that he was going to dog them, but they dogged him.
Oh, he was going to be like, okay,
come on over. And he was going to, which I would have looked very unfavorably upon him, but now I look unfavorably upon the others.
Yeah. The Germans. Mm. They dogged him.
So he gets killed by the machine gun fire. It was a bit of a trap. And Audie later wrote, "I remember the experience as I do a nightmare. A demon seems to have entered my body. My brain is coldly alert and logical. I do not think of the danger to myself. My whole being is concentrated on killing." Oh. So he goes batshit.
Right. Would I be right in saying that those guys who shot him were Nazis?
Well, I guess.
Because, you know, that does not reflect favorably on them.
Yeah. Sorry to any Nazis out there, but this doesn't look good for you.
That, yeah, I'm getting a pretty hard and fast rule about them, that they're bad.
Oh.
And I don't like black and white like that.
But. I know, but I think I have to agree. Well, to be honest, I haven't seen many examples of them doing any good, you know? But, hey, I'd love to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Would you?
Yep. So Audie advanced alone on the house, seemingly impervious to the German fire that was being directed straight at him. He wounded two Germans, killed six, took the others as prisoners. His actions that day took approximately an hour, during which he killed eight German soldiers, wounded three, and took 11 as prisoners. And for this, he received the Distinguished Service Cross.
He's just a one-man army.
Yeah. I like to imagine him just, like, is it when they, Mel Gibson's on The Simpsons and he's just, like, rubbing his face going, whoop, 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 whoop. That's how I like to imagine Audie Murphy. Just, going batshit.
I was thinking of him like Grandpa Simpson in the army, where he's just, like, a badass from the Hellfish?
Flying Hellfish.
Yeah.
Just sitting on hand grenades and just doing whatever it takes.
Yeah. Well, sure. That's the same.
Some sort of mix of the two.
Yeah, dressing up as a ballet dancer in front of Hitler.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever
that
it takes.
Is not Aya Booby.
They were brave to take on Hitler, weren't they?
Yeah.
Whew. So, he got the Distinguished Service Cross, and this is the second highest military award that can be given to a member of the United States Army.
I mean, you kill that many people, capture that many people on your own, and you get the second highest. What is number one doing?
Well, the Distinguished Service Cross is for extreme gallantry and risk of life in actual combat with an armed enemy force. And this award is only given when, all of the criteria isn't met for the honor medal. It's just, like, one step below, but it's still a huge... It's not given out all that often.
So it's just like one box wasn't ticked or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
I wonder what the box was.
I don't know. There's no damsel in distress or something like that.
It's probably swearing or something.
Yeah. He didn't look that cool when he did it.
I see.
Yeah. But speaking of looking cool when he did something.
Hell yeah.
This is the citation from when he did receive a Medal of Honor. And I want to read it because explains exactly what happened. So it says, "Second Lieutenant Murphy commanded Company B, which was attacked by six tanks and waves of infantry. Second Lieutenant Murphy ordered his men to withdraw to prepared positions in a woods while he remained forward at his command post and continued to give fire directions to the artillery by telephone. Behind him, to his right, one of our tank destroyers received a direct hit and began to burn. Its crew withdrew to the woods. Second Lieutenant Murphy continued to direct artillery fire, which killed a large number of the advancing enemy infantry. With the enemy tanks abreast of his position, Second Lieutenant Murphy climbed on the burning tank destroyer." So the tank's on fire, he climbs up on it, which was in danger of blowing up at any moment, and employed its 50-caliber machine gun against the enemy. He was alone and exposed to German fire from three sides, but his deadly fire killed dozens of Germans and caused their infantry attack to waver. The enemy tanks, losing infantry support, began to fall back. For an hour, the Germans tried every available weapon to eliminate 2nd Lieutenant Murphy, but he continued to hold his position and wiped out a squad which was trying to creep up unnoticed on his right flank. Germans reached as close as 10 yards, only to be mowed down by his fire. He received a leg wound, but ignored it and continued the single-handed fight until his ammunition was exhausted. He then made his way to his company, refused medical attention, and organized the company in a counterattack, which forced the Germans to withdraw. Apparently, he called basically at fire on his exact location, and so they blew up the tank as he walked away from it and didn't look back.
What a bad ass.
Yep. So for that, he got an honor medal.
So that's the top one.
Medal of honor. Yes, that's right.
So now he's got the first and the second highest medals.
He's got all of them. I'll go into that. When he was asked later why he'd seized the machine gun and taken on an entire company of German infantry, he replied simply, "They were killing my friends."
Okay. Interesting question. I'll field this one.
What would you do? You wouldn't...
You know, in history, there's always like when he was later asked, who are these people asking these questions?
Yeah.
Who was asking, was this his grandson or something?
Why'd you do it?
Why'd you do that, Grandpa?
What?
Wait. Kill my friends.
Kill the enemy?
Yeah.
Why did I do my job?
It was in a war.
He was later
Why'd I go on above and beyond? Yeah, I get that. The question would have been something like, why'd you, like, you're almost reckless with your own life. Well, you were reckless with your own life. What? Yeah, and he's like, I don't know, just...
Pretty insane.
But he, like, to him, the question was probably like, yeah, of course I did.
Mm.
But the question's been asked because most people would be like,
I would run. I would turn and run. It's,
Dave wouldn't run. He'd fly in his little drone.
Yeah.
Beat me up, Scotty!
He calls his drone Scotty. It's really weird. He thinks it's alive.
Scotty, I need some sustenance. You got any chocolate milk up there?
For the last time, my name's Greg.
I'm a pilot. Shut up, I'm trying to concentrate.
Greg! Chocolate milk!
Scotty, where's the chocolate milk in here? Don't be a tired ass, Scotty.
Give me that chocolate milk.
I'll just keep sipping until you insert it into my mouth.
We don't have that technology.
Yeah. Scotty!
And taken out of context, that's a terrible sentence.
Not done yet.
All right. Now you're done?
Well.
For now.
For now.
Audie also suffered from post-traumatic stress, which I think makes sense, which back then was either called shell shock or battle fatigue. I'd heard shell shock before, but battle fatigue is fun. He was plagued with insomnia and bouts of depression, and he slept with a loaded pistol under his pillow even after the war. He had headaches, vomiting, and nightmares. But in an effort to draw attention to the problems of returning Korean War and Vietnam War veterans much later, he spoke out candidly about his own problems with post-traumatic stress, and he called on the government to give increased consideration and study to the emotional impact of combat experiences and to extend healthcare benefits to war veterans. So he used his bad experience to try and help other people. Holy shit. And like I said before, with all stories of war, and particularly World War II badasses, there's a lot more to his story, but I just picked a few key war elements because I also want to talk about what he did after. So at the end of the war, he was considered one of the most decorated soldiers in history, being awarded 33 medals and honours.
Like, it'd be hard to march with that.
Yeah, it'd be heavy.
Yeah, occasionally you'll see veterans with just, there's no room left on their shirt. There's so many medals. He would be...
He'd need a second shirt or they'd be on the back or something.
And they're all
as well.
Like, they're made of metal, right? So they'd be heavy.
Some of them are pretty significant. But he's also decorated for bravery by the governments of France and Belgium. And he was credited with killing over 240 German soldiers and wounding and capturing many more. Which is always kind of a weird thing with war, isn't it? To be like, wow, he killed all those people. But it's like, they're still people.
Yeah.
I agree, the Nazi Party. Bad. We all agree on that. But people are people. But, it's so strange.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, it's not, I mean, the soldiers, right? They're doing the job. That's what they got to do.
Yeah.
It's the fuckheads who are making wars happen.
Yeah.
People like, and I don't want to go out on a limb, but maybe I will, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Yep.
Started a big war.
There. We said it.
He's, I'm going to say, a real piece of shit.
Yep, I think you might be
Maybe
right.
I'd say worse than that. I don't want to.
Two pieces of shit.
No, a bigger piece of shit.
Whoa, one really big piece of
shit. I just think he's one of the worst. Almost iconically bad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounded so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And can I just say, that is not IR booby.
So, yes, he's a very decorated soldier. And keep in mind, the majority of his awards were given to him before he was even 20 years old. Anyway, what have you done with your life? So,
look.
I don't have time for you to list what you've done in the last 17 centuries.
No, I just need you to know, don't hang around waiting for me to achieve any of that.
God, no. Okay, oh, please. No. No, no, no. So in July of 1945, Audie was on, he was in Life magazine, which caught the eye of actor and producer James Cagney, and he brought him to Hollywood. James and his brother William signed him as a contract player for their production company and gave him training in acting, voice, and dance. They never cast him in a movie.
Triple threat.
And a personal disagreement ended their association in 1947, but he caught the bloody bug.
Right. So he's singing, acting, and dancing.
Yep. He befriended a Hollywood writer called David Speck McClure, and they collaborated when Audie wrote his autobiography called To Hell and Back, which was released in 1949. McClure used his connections to get Murphy a $500 or equivalent to about $5,000 bit part in Texas, Brooklyn, and Heaven. And he'd been dating Hollywood actress Wanda Hendricks for a couple of years, and her agent got him a bit part in the 1948 Alan Ladd film Beyond Glory. But his first leading role and kind of his big break was a film in 1949 called Bad Boy.
Oh,
with Will Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. This is before he changed his name to Martin Lawrence.
Right.
But, yeah. Whoops, spoiler.
So he's Big Mama's house as well.
Yeah.
This guy's done a lot.
He's done so much. Now, the film's called Bad Boy, and the film's financial backers refused to bankroll the project unless Audie Murphy was given the lead role.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey, I will only fund this film if you put someone who's never properly acted.
Yeah, exactly.
In the lead role.
And that's why allied artists didn't want to give it to an inexperienced actor.
But they were the other way around. It's like, all right, well, you can have this film as long as you attach a very famous name to it.
Yeah, this one's like, no. But I mean, he is very famous, just not for acting.
Right.
He's been all over newspapers and he's, a lot. He's a household name.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that would definitely get attention, especially if he's good in it.
Yeah.
Probably all really bad.
Oh, Bad Boy.
Oh, that's
it's called Bad Boy. You're really leaving bad acting.
It's open to the critics there, isn't it? Yeah. There was one bad boy in this film. The film.
And I'm not talking about the character.
Oh.
Universal Studios signed Audie to a 7-year studio contract at $2,500 a week, which is equivalent to about $25,000 a week.
For 7 years?
Yep.
That's over $1 million a year.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Holy moly.
So now before would you go to war?
Was he good in Bad Boy?
I never said it. Dave said he would be in a drone.
Yes, I wouldn't go to war because I was asking you. Anti-war. Oh.
Look, I'm not going to go to war for an acting contract.
For the chance to make 25 grand a week.
So why are you here? Acting contract.
Obviously, duh.
Fucking, that's crazy. So huge. Obviously Bad Boy was very successful then.
Bad Boy did well, yeah. But some of his other work did even better. So Audie married actress Wanda Hendricks in 1949. They'd been dating for a couple of years. However, their marriage didn't last and their divorce became final 2 years later in 1951. And 4 days after his divorce was finalized, he married former airline stewardess Pamela Opal Lee Archer. Good name. Four names. Love it.
Has not been a bad name in this episode.
I agree. Well, they went on to have two sons, Terry Michael, not amazing, and James Shannon, also a bit plain. But when your name's Audie.
Yeah.
And he hated that his name was Audie.
Oh, okay.
So he gave his sons boring names. Sorry, Terry and James. But
Terry and James. No, I feel that. Mm. I got the boring names as well.
I can't Audie. Talk.
Yeah, we've got three of the most dullard names. Yeah.
No.
In 1955, Audie's autobiography, To Hell and Back, was to be made.
I would have called it Audie Biography.
Oh, that is good.
Is it?
That is.
That's good stuff.
So good.
Yeah. So it was set to be made into a film. It was going to be directed by Jesse Hibbs. And Audie was initially reluctant to play himself, but he eventually agreed. So he played himself in a movie based on a book about himself.
That he'd written. And he was like, I'm finding it hard to relate to this character.
I just don't know if I can play me.
So how old is he now? He's pushing 40 and he's got to play himself as a
1955, he's
in his
30s. So he only has to. So, and he's going and playing a guy pretending to be 18.
I guess so.
Hey, I'm.
Oh, no, it's me. I'm not.
There's no way you're 18.
Oh, I am. I promise. There's no way 18. You're obviously 30 years old.
Yeah.
No. 17, pretending to be 18.
I didn't write it down. But I did read a couple of places that he, in the edit of the film, Audie cut out a few kind of key things because he felt people wouldn't believe that it was real. It's that situation of like the truth is stranger than fiction. There were some things that people would be like, bullshit, he didn't do that. And he was like, I did, but I'll cut it out because people won't believe how much of a badass I am.
Hell yeah.
So To Hell and Back became the biggest hit in the history of Universal Studios at the time.
What?
And I'm pretty sure I read somewhere it remained their biggest film until Jaws in 1975. So for 20 years it was their best.
And that was the highest grossing film ever to that point, Jaws.
Yeah.
So it was a megastar.
Yeah, it was huge.
Very few people get to the top of any game, and he's done it twice.
Yeah.
Soldier and actor.
He's not done.
Oh, what's he going to be?
What's he going to be? Do you want to have a guess?
Oh, okay. Politician, I reckon.
No. Matt?
Yeah, that's a good guess. Well, he also trained in dance and song. Is it singer?
Yes, well done.
He's going to be a singer kind as well.
A crooner?
No, he was a fan of country music. But he wasn't a singer or a musician himself, but through...
That doesn't matter in that genre.
No, but but through friends, he was introduced to a songwriter called Scott Turner, and they collaborated on numerous songs between...
Scott Turner, is he the beatboxer?
Yes.
That's cool.
That's not he even his name.
He just broke Dave. He punched the wall.
That guy from Australian Idol season one, is that what you mean?
Probably, I don't know.
What's his name? That was Joel Turner.
Yeah, that's definitely who Matt meant.
What a reference to go for.
Okay.
So obscure, and it was the wrong name.
Okay.
I mean, I do that
every... We should clarify, it's quite late, and sorry, Dave's very tired.
I feel like we're endlessly clarifying it's quite late.
Just assume it's late, yeah. Unless we say, oh, it's early in the morning. Early.
And by early, we mean 2 a.m.
Yeah. Just assume always, we should have said this 100 episodes ago, assume always that it's late at night and at least one of us is fucked. Okay, Dad?
Yeah, if John, if you are listening,
he
please.
He cares about us.
Hey, John, thanks so much for tuning in. And when Jess said, who's it going to be before, in that funny way, that's a reference to my favourite podcast called Sizzletown. You should check it out.
What's it going to be?
We say it a lot off mic. I accidentally brought it on mic there.
It's okay.
And I thought I needed to give it context. I probably didn't. But that is a great hot tip for a podcast. Mm.
Tony Martin. We all love him.
Australian comedy legend.
Don't speak for me, Dave.
Oh, he's talking about me and him. We all. And he pointed at me.
Oh, that's the dynamic, isn't it?
We
you
all.
Two, and then
yeah. Against the world.
But yeah. You're telling me you don't love Tony Martin.
No, I do. I just don't like you speaking on my behalf. I like to be consulted. Thank you. Anyway, so they collaborated on numerous songs between 1962 and 1970, the most successful of which was Shutters and Boards and When the Wind Blows in Chicago.
He hired a professional lyricist for this?
Yeah. Well, apparently he used to write a bit of poetry and stuff as well, a couple of which are in his book. But
Shutter and Boards.
Well, in his defense, he was normally a beatboxer, not a lyricist. So.
Yeah.
Usually, he just writes down where it's like boom and ch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wiki, wiki, wiki.
And I break it down.
God, don't give away too much of our musical experience.
Okay,
we'll intimidate people with our skill. His singing career, it wasn't anything, but he did it as well. We didn't get heaps of success or anything from that. But throughout an acting career spanning from 1948 to 1969.
Why aren't you saying that right?
1948. I was like, am I doing that thing again where I make 1800s, 1900s? 1948 to 1969.
All right. Nice.
He made more than 40 feature films and one television series. 40 feature films.
That's 2 a year. That's crazy.
I love it when he does quick maths. I love it.
Plus a TV series.
Because sometimes I'm like, that's a bit. And then Dave jumps in. I'm like, that is a bit. I nailed it.
2 feature films a year. He's laughing.
That's a lot of work. Apart from being a decorated soldier, a film star, a country musician, a husband and a father, he also bred quarter horses at the Audie Murphy Ranch. Naming a ranch after yourself. Come on, mate, think of a name.
I reckon someone would have done that. Probably one of the horses.
Named it Audie Murphy.
Audie Murphy.
And he went, all right, I feel a bit silly
Wild
naming it
that. Called Audie Murphy.
You get a Mr. Ed?
No.
Okay.
There's a whole new character called Horsey Talky Talk. Hi, I'm Horsey Talky Talk, and I want to name this here ranch Arnie Murphy. Is that his name?
Audie. I've been saying it this whole time.
I'm afraid I've already written it down. It's going to cost $100 in admin if you want to change it.
I'll leave it as it is.
Arnie Murphy.
We know what you mean.
Could you pass over another bit of peanut butter? It's the only way I know how to talk.
That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
So he's raising horses, and he also loved to have a punt. So he would gamble on his horses.
Oh, no, this is his downfall.
His gambling left his finances in a poor state.
He's making $1 million a year, and he's lost it.
In 1968, he stated that he lost $260,000 in an Algerian oil deal and was dealing with the IRS over unpaid taxes.
Yeah, who hasn't done that?
We've all lost 260K.
Well, luckily for me, it wasn't quite that much. But those Algerian oil deals.
I dropped mine in a drain.
your 216 minutes.
Yeah. God, I felt like a real goose.
I find it fascinating when super rich people gamble. I feel like gambling's for people who are like, I need some money.
Yeah.
But when you've already got it, it's like, what's the win? More money? You've already got it.
You got so much.
I mean, I do get why it's a bit of fun. I get why you might do it in little bits and pieces. But if you've already got heaps of money, I don't get why people gamble heaps of money.
Again, Matt, that is beautiful. And thank you.
Well, I'm just looking for answers. Can you explain it to me? No, why do you do it?
I'm not mega rich.
The answer.
Less than you.
You already said the right answer. More money.
More money.
That's the answer.
More money, more problems, Dave. Remember that.
Dave? No money, no problems.
Oh. More money, more
I'm
problems.
I'm so sorry. He's already written it down.
No money, no, I'm afraid it's going to be a $100 admin fee.
Just to tell you, come on, jump on board. I'm taking you for a ride to Christmas past. Horsey talky talk at Christmas past.
Does horsey talky talk work at the casino?
No, but I do gallop in time.
Is horsey talky talk okay?
No.
Okay.
Could you call my vet? Vetty?
Vetty.
Vetty, make me feel better, vet.
Eddie Vetty?
Eddie Vetter, vet. Okay, I'm going to have a quick break.
Yeah,
again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Off you go.
Clip-clop.
That horse has been put out to pasture.
In spite of his financial difficulties, he refused to appear in commercials for alcohol and cigarettes, as he wasn't a smoker or a drinker, and he was mindful of the influence he would have on the youth market. He was like, I'm not selling out, man.
I mean, morally, great decision. Financially, not so good.
Not great. On the 28th of May, 1971, Audie was a passenger on a private plane flying from Atlanta, Georgia to Martinsville, Virginia. A couple of hours into the flight, the aircraft crashed into Brush Mountain, 20 miles west of Roanoke, in conditions of rain, cloud, fog, and zero visibility. Terrible conditions. The pilot and all the passengers were killed, and Audie was only 45 years old.
So he died as well?
He died.
What?
I thought for sure he was going to somehow fall through.
No. So he was killed in the in this plane crash. The pilot had a private pilot license and 8,000 hours of flying time, but he didn't have the correct qualifications or license to be flying that type of aircraft. You know, so something else from on there.
But it was a commercial flight.
No, it was a private jet.
Oh, right.
Private plane.
You did not prepare me emotionally for him to die then. That felt like we were still mid-story.
I did say the pilot and all of the passengers were killed.
Yeah, but before
at that point I realised what had happened.
That's when we both realised.
I'm not sure how you would like me to have led up to it.
Sadly.
Tragically, his final journey.
Okay, well, thank you for your notes. Too late.
His luck finally ran out. When,
after all his bad gambling luck, his luck continued to be poor, but this time fatally.
He took the biggest gamble of his life when he got on board a plane with an unlicensed pilot.
No, I don't like any of this.
I'm mentioning a flight here and just probably assume I haven't mentioned any before now. Maybe this is something bad's about to happen.
Okay, thank you again for your notes.
You could have just looked Matt in the eye and said, I'm sorry.
I mean, you could have started that paragraph without a big grin on your face. You were smiling the whole way through. I'm reading your body language going, something cool's about to happen.
He's going
to
parachute out.
I thought he had survived.
It did look like she was building to something like that.
No, I just wanted to get through it because it was hard and it's a comedy podcast and I'd like to move on.
Well, I think we've moved on pretty well here.
Yeah, I think we haven't dwelled on anything.
45. I cannot believe all of that happened.
Yeah.
He made 40 films and he got 30-something war medals.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I cannot believe that. Incredible. I assumed you were about to tell me he was 80 or something.
No.
He married twice. He had those kids.
Yeah.
Incredible. He had like these Hollywood wives.
Wives.
No, I realized the second one was not a Hollywood. It just feels like he just went through these different phases. Like, now I'm going to be a country singer. Now I'm going to be a Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be in the army. Like, this is in reverse, obviously. Now I'm going to be a gambler, sadly.
Now I'm going to be a toddler. Now I'm going to be a baby. Now I'm going to be in my mum's tummy.
I'm bummed.
He was buried with full military honours at Arlington National Cemetery in June of 1971. And in attendance were Ambassador to the UN George H.W. Bush, who only just passed away himself, Army Chief of Staff William Westmoreland, and many of the 3rd Infantry Division, so the his fellow soldiers. A special flagstone walkway was later constructed to accommodate the large number of people who visited to pay their respects. It's the cemetery's second most visited gravesite after that of JFK.
Wow.
So people still go.
Where's Arlington?
Visit.
Virginia.
Arlington, Virginia. And so was he connected to... He was on his way to Virginia because he was a Texan, right?
Originally, yes.
Yeah, right. Arlington.
That would make sense. The headstones of Medal of Honor recipients buried at Arlington National Cemetery are normally decorated in gold leaf, but Audie had previously requested that his stone remain plain and inconspicuous, like that of an ordinary soldier. So his is just normal and
unfortunately,
plain.
Because everything else is gold, it actually makes his stand out more than anything else in that cemetery. You look for the one that isn't gold and you're looking at his.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's Audie.
Trying to stand out.
We'll have to try and visit.
That would be cool. And just finally as well, there were lots of other different honours, both in terms of military and also civilian, that were bestowed on him during his lifetime and also posthumously, including a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's got one. He's got it all.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that is my
He's
report.
Got a star on the fame. Well, I'm afraid I've just got to correct myself here. Just before people get on Twitter, there's also an Arlington in Texas, so he may have been buried there, but right, there is okay. The big one in Virginia as well.
Oh, right. Okay. Is there a Bruce Springsteen song called Arlington County? Doesn't matter. Maybe. That does not matter.
Anyway, that's my report on Audie Murphy.
I had not heard of him, but what an amazing badass.
Yeah. When you said at the start, like, oh, I haven't heard of him, I was like, well, how many of these badasses have we ever heard of?
Look, he looks like a Hollywood...
Oh, he's a babe.
I was going to ask, is he a really attractive guy?
Yeah, he's quite good looking. He kind of looks a bit like the guy who plays Bucky in Captain America, weirdly.
That is very strange. Oh, he is... JFK is in Arlington, Virginia.
So it is Virginia.
So I need not say, but I just thought I'd better look that up just to stop people getting annoyed.
Yeah, just before you tweet. So yeah, pretty amazing life, huh? Yeah, you're right, by 45 to have done so much. It's crazy.
And that it was the biggest grossing film for Universal
about 20 years.
Until Jaws.
Yeah.
One of the big studios.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Oh, I've got a photo here just because I want to look him up. Pulling the Dukes.
Yeah, he did a few Western films.
While we're doing corrections, Bruce Springsteen has a song, Darlington County.
Right. Close. Very close.
Any connection? Any relation to Arlington, Virginia?
I'm going to say no.
Wow. I'm fascinated by that guy.
Yeah.
You know when you don't know someone exists and then you hear about them and then they die and you feel like, my whole life without knowing about
him. Well, even though I'm pretty sure if he hadn't died in that plane crash, he probably would either be very, very old or have already passed of natural causes I think he probably lived a pretty extraordinary life for his 45 years. He packed a lot into 45 years.
And I feel so inspired that weedy little guy could grow up to be a war hero.
He does not look like a weedy little guy.
A babe, an actor, a country singer, and terrible gambler. All of my big passions in life.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's a dream combo.
But by my age, he'd won several awards, both for military and film.
Oh, way before your age. Yeah, so long ago.
So there's a section on his Wikipedia page where it says awards, and then they just have a list of them.
Yep.
And it just feels like you're scrolling for minutes before you get to the bottom of his military awards.
Yep.
Wow, fantastic. Did we say who suggested that?
Thank you. Yeah, it was suggested by a few people.
Right, maybe big in America.
Three people, Jeremiah, Russell and Clay all suggested that one. So thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Because that was a very cool topic.
And the Patreons voted on it?
Yeah, that's right. I put up four biographies that I could have done this week. And it was a pretty tight race for most of it. And then Audie kind of took off. at the end. So it was a clear winner.
Classic Audie.
Yeah, so very cool. Thank you for voting.
So good. Thanks so much, Bopper.
Pleasure.
That was amazing. And
what a story, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check out some of those movies. Jeez, I hope he's done a movie with a primate in it.
Oh, that's
if he's done
so great.
40 movies, one of them's got to.
Sure, that's got to be in your contract, right?
Yeah, I reckon, especially in those days.
Yeah,
I'll look into that. And let you know. You up for coming on another primate?
Absolutely not.
Damn it! I don't know what I can do. if even Audie won't get you on. Even though you've done more episodes than anyone else.
Oh, have I? Oh, I want to maintain that record.
I think you've probably been on a quarter of the episodes.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. No.
Well, that brings us to a fantastic. Do you like how I'm saying fantastic?
Fantastic.
Now? Fantastic.
Is that Liam Neeson?
I don't know where
I've
got
it from. You've been doing it for a while.
I have been doing it for a while.
Fantastic.
Jeez,
and I love
it's fun
it.
To say. Fantastic. Oh, that is fantastic.
It's fun to hear.
Oh, great. Well, that is good to hear. That is fantastic to hear. This week's fact, quote, or questioner comes from maybe he's our gold standard Patreon. He donates more than anyone else. He's a wild man. His name is Brian Colella.
Brian, you beautiful man.
Dave, do you know how? Can you explain this segment in brief?
For fact, quote, or question.
Yeah.
Well, basically, if you support the show on Patreon, which you can do, if you want to keep the show ticking along, you go to patreon.com/dogoonpod, and in exchange you get some rewards for your stuff, including 2 bonus episodes a month for some tiers, shout-outs, and also the fact, quote, or question section of the show, where you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question that we will answer. And you also get to give yourself a beautiful nickname.
You do.
A title.
That's why I asked you to do it, because I always forget. I know fact, quote, or question, you get to give one of 3 things. I'm like, I'll always remember 2 of it. Fact, quote, or question, you get to give a fact or a question. No, anyway. What were they 3 again?
Fact, quote, or question.
Fact, quote, or question. So the segment's called fact, quote, or question. You can give, sorry, Dave?
A fact.
A fact, yes.
A quote.
Okay.
Which is from someone else. Or yourself.
And a fact.
Or a question.
A question, thank you very
which
much.
Which we'll answer.
And this week, Brian Colella, he's given himself the title. I've read his name and I've spoken to him online a bunch of times. I've never had a try at saying it out loud. Hopefully that is right. Brian Colella. Colella is a possible alt take. Jess, if you could edit in the right one. Brian Colella or Brian Colella. Colella. Brian Colella, he's given himself the title World's Greatest Two in the Think Tank Listener.
Oh,
because he's a great big fan
I
of
love that he's jumped ship.
Well, it's interesting because that podcast has come up a few times in this episode.
Yeah.
And can I just give you a message from Alistair?
Yeah.
Hello.
So what's the fact, quote, or question?
Brian's fact, quote, or question is a fact, and this is the fact. There is a society for people born in space started by a NASA astronaut named Harrison Schmitt, who was born in Santa Rita, New Mexico. After an expanding open pit mine consumed the town and turned it into space. Can you believe that?
What do you mean into space?
So this is from the Albuquerque Journal, and it's talking about the astronaut Schmitt. It said, one of the most fascinating things about Schmitt is a distinction he shares with Baseball Hall of Fame slugger Ralph Kiner and a couple of hundred other people. He was born in space. Actually, he and the others were born in a real town, Santa Rita, New Mexico, that no longer exists. The one-time frontier town became a company town with 2 churches and a hospital. Then it was chewed up bit by bit by the ever-expanding open-pit copper mine, which is all that remains today. People who were born at the Santa Rita Hospital have called themselves the Society for People Born in Space and meet now and then for a reunion beside the yawning pit. It's a town so it's been sucked up by the Earth, so they say that it doesn't exist there anymore.
Space. That's kind of cool.
So it's no longer on Earth where they were born.
Right, so if the hospital where I was born was bulldozed, I'm now born in space.
If it was sucked up by the Earth, yes.
Or by a bulldozer, yes.
Right, sucked into a bulldozer.
If a bulldozer sucks it in, I'll allow it.
Okay.
But otherwise, not on your fat bippy, Boppy.
I'll try and join the society then.
Yeah, great.
I'll try. Well, that means
I'll bulldoze the hospital first. Hospital, yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, not bulldoze. Your bulldozer needs to suck it
no,
in.
No, I'm going to bulldoze it, and then obviously there'll be a little rubble and dust, and I'll vacuum.
Yeah, whip out the old Dyson and
Airblade.
God, I'd love a sponsorship from Dyson. My vacuum cleaner is on the fritz.
Oh, I've got a Dyson. I can tell you it's
I
great.
I cannot afford a Dyson.
I will back.
Yeah, look, affluent East over here can afford a Dyson. I can't afford a Dyson. I live like less than a kilometre away from Dave, but...
Do you want to borrow
the
Dyson?
On the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, I'm on the wrong side. Can I come over and borrow the Dyson?
It's great. My only complaint, the charge isn't long enough.
Yeah. To vacuum the entire mansion in one go.
Yeah, I mean, I've got multiple Dysons, obviously.
I assume your cleaner is probably furious about that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I can vacuum my entire house in 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it's really small.
You're that good.
Yes, that's it. I'm that good. Hey, let's thank some people.
Thanks so much for that fact, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Brian, I'll see you in space. Okay, my house.
I had an idea too. So what we always do at the end is we thank some people who support us on Patreon. If you want to jump on there, do go on pod. No, patreon.com/dogoonpod. And you can support the show, get all these rewards Dave was talking about. And one of those is we will give you a shout out. And I was thinking this time we could call them the real life and then insert fictional character.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good.
Do you like that?
That is one of the best for a while.
Thank you so much. Can I kick off?
Please.
I would like to thank from a place we just were, London.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to say my house.
We were not at my house. I won't have you there.
We were at my house, as in we were at each of our own houses.
That's true. We were at my house.
Yes.
Oh, boy, I'm worried about it.
I wouldn't go to either
it,
of your filthy, unvacuumed houses.
It vacuumed just poorly.
Vacuumed yesterday.
Well, did you vacuum today?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did spill garlic bread on the floor today.
Spill garlic bread?
I got you crumbs it all up everywhere.
Is that spilling?
Okay,
how
dropped.
How do you think the Dyson is?
I dropped garlic bread.
It's going to suck up a crumbs. Whole garlic bread. You just suck up the whole loaf. I don't know why I find that image so funny. Well, that's ruined. Put it into space.
From London, I would like to thank Tom Rourke.
Oh, great name.
That's good
name.
Like a spy name.
Yeah, I love that.
Tom Rourke.
Tommy Rourke.
The real life James Bond.
Oh, oh, that is good.
You said spy name.
Yeah, it is. Tom Rourke, the real life James Bond.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 ba-da-dum, bum,
MI6, that's London, baby. Best
I love
theme.
James Bond.
Best theme, in my opinion.
Mm. Is that, yeah, you happy with that one?
Yeah.
The great.
Real, I don't think anyone would complain about
yeah,
being
you're right.
I don't want to be a super spy who gets all the chicks.
I would also like to thank...
I say that every day.
From Lincolnshire, also in Great Britain, Alex Garrow.
Oh,
I
Alex
like that
Garrow.
Too.
Garrow, the real life
phantom.
Ooh, lives behind a waterfall.
The ghost that walks.
My favorite superhero.
Yeah, we know.
Also, kind of like the worst superhero.
No,
right?
No, he's not.
Yeah, but also Billy Zane.
Oh, Billy Zane.
He's so cool.
Yep.
So hot.
Oh, yeah.
But the fan, it's sort of like not a great superhero, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think people that love superheroes bag it out a bit, but then I think it's really...
You're part of it. Like, I know a lot of Melbourne comedians love him. You
really?
Should form a secret society.
Really? Oh, I once got bullied by Ronnie Chang about liking him.
Oh, well, that's...
All right, you've met Ronnie Chang.
Yeah, I got bullied by a celebrity.
Sammy J is a big fan. He did a whole show about
okay.
it.
Okay, you know Sammy J.
Well, I know that he did a show about the Phantom.
I actually did see it. It was fantastic.
I'm sick of you guys just bloody name-dropping left, right, and centre over here.
One is of the Auntie like... Donna guys loves it.
Does he?
Yeah, I forget which one. Not Broden.
You said does he, not knowing which one.
I don't care.
I think it was Zach. I reckon
Zach. I'm happy to know that someone likes
it's
the Phantom.
It's not going
to
be Broden. He's smart.
People always laugh in your face. When you say you love the Phantom, people laugh in your face.
Really? No, I'm telling you, there's a lot of fans. I bet we've got listeners who love the Phantom. That's why, you know, one of the offices here is painted purple? It's because of the Phantom. I picked it Phantom Purple. That's a true story. Anyway, probably you will not hear a more boring anecdote than that in your life. But
Matt will try to top that.
I'll try and top it.
For us Phantom fans, Phantom Maniacs.
Yeah, I was a big fan. Let's go get a photo for this week's episode in front of the purple.
Phantoms.
The Phantom Maniacs.
Fuck me.
We're Phantom Maniacs.
I hate all of you. Somebody thank someone.
I'd love to thank, if I could.
Well, please. Somebody please thank someone.
It's so late.
Could I thank all the way from Chelsea in me? I haven't been to Chelsea, but I have been to me. What's me, Dave?
That's Maine.
Maine. I haven't been to
Maine. We don't have that many supporters from Maine. It's always cool when the smaller states come
I
up.
Love them small states. Where is Maine? Somewhere up around the edge?
Northeast.
Northeast, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I said edge.
Yeah, you're damn right.
I'd love to thank Michelle Stafford.
The real life Dave. The real life Dave.
Really?
The real life.
Ziggy Stardust.
Oh,
that is cool.
That's great. Good one. Yep, love that. I have nothing more to say other than I love it.
Love it. That's all you need.
That's a good one.
Do you know, which one of you is the Bowie fan?
I have a t-shirt that says Bowie.
We both like David Bowie.
Yeah.
So, I like him too, but I wouldn't say I'm a super fan. No. I just don't know. Because I'm trying to think which one Ziggy Stardust is. He's not the
eye patch and the red hair.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
The Lightning Bolt is...
No, that is, sorry.
Yeah.
That is Ziggy Stardust.
That is Ziggy Stardust?
Yes.
Yes,
definitely.
Okay. What's the red hair one then?
The Lightning Bolt is the red hair as well.
Who's the thin young Duke?
The thin white Duke.
I love that it's just so funny that he had all those personas. What a man. The real life Ziggy Stardust, Michelle Stafford. And I also love to thank from Hong Kong, Hong Kong.
We were just there. I had a chicken pie at the airport.
You did have a chicken pie.
The pastry was sweet, which was different. But I liked it.
If we ever go to Hong Kong Airport again, can we go outside and stay the night?
It looks very cool.
It looks so cool. I've been there. I've been to that airport like half a dozen times. I've never gone outside.
I had hash browns from Burger King, and they were great.
We had nothing but nice words to say about them.
I had a chicken pie. I had hash browns. Yeah. We really expanded our taste buds.
We won't say anything bad about it.
So from Hong Kong.
Oh, sorry, yes. You want more than that? Of course. It's Binoy Shah.
Binoy!
Hello, Binoy Shah.
Jess, you haven't given us one yet.
Burger King. I get James Bond, thank you very much.
Dave, you haven't given us one yet.
I think you're the one who hasn't.
I'll say the real life Burger King.
Oh.
The king of the burgers.
King of the burgers.
We don't have Burger Kings here. If it was Australian, it would be the real life Hungry Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice one too.
You can take a choice, Benoit.
Whatever you prefer.
By the way, you have a fantastic name.
Love it.
Benoit Shah.
Very nice to have listeners in Asia, we must say. We are hoping to one day go there as well.
Oh, we want to go everywhere. Let's not kid ourselves. We want to take over the world. And I think podcasting is the way to do it. Dave, would you like to thank some people?
I'd like to thank a couple of people now to take us home. I'd like to thank from Dublin, one of Jess's favourite spots in the world, Tiernan Ennis.
Tiernan!
This would be the same Tiernan.
That's Tiernan.
That is Tiernan, yeah.
Hello, Tiernan. We know you in real life.
We know you in real life. We were in a bit of a pickle in our Edinburgh show, and we lost our tech like the day before the show, and we put out to Patreon like, somebody please... Is anybody kind of good at tech? And Tiernan was like, oh, I'm okay, I guess. And he was a fucking superstar and lovely.
That was great.
And it was great to meet him and his wife, Rachel.
Yes, a big shout out to you as well, Rachel. Appreciate you coming along. And Tiernan, what a pleasure it is to thank you. And I think that Tiernan is the real life. He's on the decks. The real life Fat Boy Slim.
Wow.
Because
you do know there is a real life Fat Boy Slim.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
The real life Fat Boy Slim. Oh, I'm trying to think of his name. It was something Cook.
Yes. Something normal, right? Norman Cook.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Anyway.
Normal Cook.
Normal Cook. You know, the Tiernan Ellis. The real life Fat Boy Slim.
This is good.
And I'd like to praise you.
Norman
like I should.
Quentin Cook.
Please do. Do it.
Like I should.
Hopefully you are fucking in heaven tonight. Some lyric is
You are my funk soul brother. Check it out now.
A little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that is what I wish to you.
He's 55 years old.
Tiernan. Bloody hell, he looks
not
good.
Not Tiernan.
He looks real good for any age. Hey, I should say for the Bowie fans who are annoyed, the lightning strike is Aladdin's saying.
Is that right?
I believe so, yes. I'm so sorry to all concerned.
And I would like to move on quickly, out of embarrassment, from Napier in New Zealand.
New Zealand.
What a great place. I'd like to thank Jackie Miller.
Jackie Miller. First and foremost, Jackie Miller, thank you for your support.
Oh, that's a whole... If that isn't a Hollywood industry type from the olden days name, I have never heard of one.
Jackie Miller, if you don't already own like a chain of shops called Jackie Miller...
Yeah.
Go out and do it now because you'll be rich.
Tomorrow. Or like some sort of, you should have a stable of Hollywood A-listers.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jackie Miller is like a real, like if Jackie Miller backs you in Hollywood, you're going places. Yeah. She is a star maker.
Mm.
Jackie Miller, the real life Pam. Did I do one? I blacked out.
You said Pam. Is that the whole way through?
Yep.
I was thinking like Dreammaker, and we've also just said Aladdin's same, but I was thinking the genie.
Yep, that's also
Dreammaker.
That's where I was going with Pam.
So the real
Pam the genie.
So the real life Pam the genie.
Pam the genie.
Sorry, Jackie, but also you're welcome,
Jackie Miller.
Does anyone remember this not Aladdin, but like there was a genie cartoon called Bob in the Bottle?
No. When was this? The 30s?
I think so, yeah. And it went, and the theme song went like this. It went, when you're feeling sad and blue, there's only one thing you should do. Put some pepper under your nose. Sneeze away those worries and woes. Bob. Bob in the Bottle. He's so nice. Bob. Bob in the Bottle makes everything like paradise. And you had to sneeze. Jess is looking up to make sure it's real. But I'm. How would I have made all of that up?
That song sounds real, but it sounds like the...
Oh, Lion King.
No.
Isn't that Lion King?
No, that's Jungle Book.
Little Mermaid.
The seaweed is always greener. Somebody else's lake.
Wonder who ripped off who.
You dream about going up there. I love Sebastian. He's fun.
Bob. Bob in the Bottle.
Yeah, very similar. Anyway, so Jackie is the real life Pam the Genie.
Pam the Genie.
Pam. Great to have you on board.
The Genie.
Well, that does bring us to the end of another classic episode of Do Go On. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you join us again?
Please.
Possibly next week.
Please, indulge.
Please indulge in our back catalogue if you haven't already. Go to dogoonpod.com for links to all the old episodes and, of course, links to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and YouTube, which are all the platform /dogoonpod.
And over the next little while, we're going to be hopefully figure out some more live shows around the place. So social media is the best way to figure that out. If you're on the Patreon, they always find out first. But if you follow us at dogoonpod on Twitter, Instagram and /dogoonpod on Facebook.
And if you go to, if you do follow us and the shows come out next year, 2019, it's going to be the year of the Do Go On podcast live shows.
That is a big call to make, Dave. Better follow through.
We did a lot of live shows this year, but I'm hoping in my heart of hearts that next year we'll do even more and go even more places, especially places we haven't been before.
I'm actually hoping the opposite.
We go to places we haven't been.
I was really
before.
Hoping to slow down, but make more money. So if you two could
consolidation.
Maybe take smaller cuts.
Yeah, okay.
Give me more of it. But we definitely do a lot less work.
I really got to let you know that you're in the wrong industry if money is what you're after.
What's that?
Have you thought of horse gambling?
Have you thought about starting a chain of stores called Jackie Miller?
I'm going to be
rich. I'd probably really get into acting. Why don't you just do Hollywood movies? They get paid really well.
That guy was getting paid $1 million a year.
Yeah, I might do that.
He didn't have no experience.
All right, I'm going to go do that. See ya.
It's back to just you and me, Dave.
Well, easy come, easy go. People fly in for 3 years and fly out again. Oh, well, I guess. We'll be back next week with another episode then, Matt.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Do we get it someone else in or just...
Let's just try it for us for a bit.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, until next week, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, suggest a topic anytime at dogoonpod.com, and maybe we'll be reporting on your thing next week. But until then, I will say goodbye.
Laters.
Bye.
She came back.
Just to say goodbye.
Yeah, oh. I'm not going to leave them hanging.
I thought it was Philip Seymour Hoffman for a second.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.